Hey, welcome to another edition of Cross Encounters Radio. This is your host, Tony Miano. I want to welcome you to the program. Thank you for joining me. I'm titling today's broadcast, Another Church Poisoned by Bethel Redding. It seems that more and more I'm being contacted by church members and even pastors around the country asking for help, asking for guidance as to what to do about this poison that's entering into otherwise biblical churches. And so we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into the show, I want to share some things with you. This is really great news. I love sharing this with you. The Lord, by His grace and His mercy, chose to save an unborn child Wednesday morning at the Family Planning Associates Abortuary in Mission Hills, California. Let me take just a minute or two to describe what happened. I have a video up on my YouTube channel, The Lawman 104, The Lawman 104. And what happened is Don McGinnis, my faithful partner out there. In fact, Don is out there more often than I am because of the traveling I'm doing. Don McGinnis, the great Don Zoni, as we call him, is very faithful to be at that abortuary every Wednesday and every Saturday morning, the 2 days when surgical murders are performed at that abortuary. He is there, rain or shine. And so Don got there Wednesday just a few minutes before I did. And as I'm walking up from my car to the rear parking lot of the abortuary where we stand on the public sidewalk just there at the entrance of the parking lot, I could hear Don calling out to a man. I could tell by what he was saying, he was talking to a man. And when I got up there, there was a fairly large male individual standing outside the back door, the back entrance to the building that houses the abortuary. There are some 21 businesses in this office building at 10200 Sepulveda Boulevard, cross street of LaMarche in Mission Hills, California. Don was talking to the man, pleading with him to come over and talk, assuring the man that he meant him no harm. And when I stood up beside Don, when I came there and stood up beside Don, the man obviously noticed my presence there. I guess prior to me coming up there, he had threatened to come over and beat Don up. Now, if you're not familiar with my friend Don McGinnis, he is no little lad. Don was a police officer for the city of Burbank for a few years before moving into a 35-year career as a butcher. Don is a big man. Don is no little boy. And but this guy was breathing out threats of violence, and that's not unusual. Men who bring women to abortuaries to murder their children already have murder on their heart. If they're going to murder a baby, why wouldn't they threaten other people? But when I came up, the man seemed to be calming down. Don said something to him. He said, that's not in the Bible, or that's not in the Word of God. Don's holding a sign with a verse out of Psalm 139, a wonderful chapter for abortuary ministry. And that closed the man's mouth. And he took a few more puffs on a cigarette, went back in. Less than an hour later, less than a time necessary for this the girl he brought in to have an abortion, less than an hour later, the two walked out. And she was crying. They sat in the car for a while, obviously considering what they were going to do. And a short time later, they drove away. And we have a number of contacts in the building of 21 businesses, people who are friendly to us, people who are friendly to our work out there. They are eyes and ears inside the building. And we were told that the man went back into the abortuary and he brought the girl out, not with any violence or anything like that. He talked her into coming back out. The man who was breathing threats of violence, the man who wanted to beat up my friend Don was the one who convinced the girl not to murder her child. And so we are praising the Lord that a baby's life was spared. And I hope you will praise him with me. Speaking of praise the Lord, how's that for a segue? I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Jamie Hall. And Jamie has a company called Praise the Lord Paracord. Have you seen these bracelets made of paracord that are all the rage right now? I've got a couple of them that people have given to me over the years. I didn't realize really what they were. Paracord is exactly what it sounds like. It's the type of cord used with parachutes since World War II. And paracord has all kinds of practical uses. It is carried by law enforcement, firefighters, military, outdoorsmen. And my friend Jamie Hall designs paracord bracelets. And my friends, they're beautiful. I mean, they are really, really nice. And Jamie personally handcrafts every bracelet. I recently purchased his law enforcement and Soldado Gloria bracelets. They were shipped to me this week. I'm waiting with anticipation for them to come, and can't wait to wear them. Jamie goes as far as having you measure your wrist to make sure that the bracelet he makes for you fits the way it should. His company's based in South Carolina. That's literally where he's from, and it is literally a one-man operation. He's just getting it off the ground. If you'd like to see some of Jamie's designs, and I encourage you to, you can visit his Facebook page. It is facebook.com, and then praise-the-lord-paracord. Or you could just go to Facebook, and in the search engine, search window, type Praise the Lord Paracord. Or you can even give him a call. Jamie's given me permission to put his phone number on the radio. Brave young man. His number is 843-457-7317. Again, that is 843-457-7317. Praise the Lord Paracord. I hope you will check those out and get yourself one or two or 12 of them. Speaking of videos, I've got several new videos up on the YouTube page, and a couple of them are titled From Jordan with Love. One is From Jordan with Love, and the other is From Jordan with Love the Next Day. And I'd really encourage you to watch these videos. The first one includes an open-air sermon. They are both shot at the North Hollywood Metro Station. And I had the opportunity, along with the guys who were out with me, to meet two lovely ladies, Mary and Susan, both Jordanian Christians visiting Southern California, visiting family. And they were very encouraged by the preaching of the gospel. One of the first things they said to me on the first day that I met them, I believe it was Monday of this week, was that they would never see anything like open-air preaching in Jordan. And they were so blessed to hear the name of Jesus Christ lifted up on the streets. Susan has a brother who lives here in Southern California. Her brother, Sammy, is a retired foreign minister for the nation of Jordan. A retired foreign minister for the nation of Jordan, now living here in the States. And she brought him to hear the gospel, to hear the preaching of the gospel, wanted me to pray for him and talk to him. And, of course, I did. And so I took Sammy through a 3 minutes to live scenario to find out whether or not, at least to the extent I was able, whether or not Sammy is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you to watch both of those videos. I was out on the campus today of UCLA, one of my favorite fishing ponds. UCLA, just a wonderful place to do open-air ministry. I can preach there in the open air, distribute tracts, distribute Bibles, talk to students, don't have to check in with anybody, don't have to fill out any forms, don't have to ask anyone's permission. It's a public school, one of the finest schools in the country. And with a student population of, I think, close to 40,000, just a great place to do ministry. I was out there today with my younger brothers in Christ, Jimmy Revelino and Kaspars. Kaspar is from Latvia, and he brought his 15-month-old son, Eric, out with him today, and I was able to get a little bit of a grandpa fix as little Eric allowed me to hold him for a little bit, so that was really special. We went through hundreds of gospel tracts. We went through 38 Bibles. I don't know how many Gospels of John we went through. And we broke for lunch for about noon, and a young lady walked up to me, and she said, "Tony, do you remember me?" And I immediately recognized her, young lady from our church. Her name is Yasmin. She works there on the campus. She's a graduate of the school. And she was on her way to lunch. We were on our way to lunch. I invited her to join us, and we just had together, all of us, a lovely time of fellowship and breaking bread and encouraging conversation. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day out there. Well, folks, I want to let you know that I'm down to 40 English Bibles in my stock. I've run out of Spanish Bibles. I just got a call today from the shipping company. I've got 1,000 English Bibles and 840 Spanish Bibles on the way. Total cost for those for about $2,500. And we took a step of faith, dipped into some of our ministry savings, a little bit of the surplus that we've tucked away for a rainy day, because I need those Bibles. I can give out anywhere from 20 to 100 a day, depending on where I'm at. And so we went ahead and made that purchase, and we're asking folks if they might not consider helping us to recoup some of the cost of that $2,500 purchase of Bibles. Now, again, $2,500 bought us a lot of Bibles, almost 2,000 Bibles. I get all my Bibles from BiblesByTheCase.com, BiblesByTheCase.com. They have giveaway Bibles, paperback Bibles, full Bibles, both in English and in Spanish, at excellent prices per Bible, and free shipping as well. And so if you'd like to help us recoup some of those costs, if you'd like to hold the rope, so to speak, as we're climbing down into the well on the streets and on college campuses, preaching the gospel, engaging people in conversation, distributing the word of God, if you'd like to help us recoup some of those costs, just go to crossencountersmin.com. Again, crossencountersmin.com, and you'll just click on the partner link. And there you'll find information for how you can make a contribution. If you do decide to donate and you're making that contribution via PayPal, there's a box where you could leave a note. Could you just leave us a note? Let us know that your donation is to help recoup some of the costs of the major Bible purchase. That would be a real encouragement to us if you would do that. And since I'm talking about UCLA, I'm going to do things a little out of order. It's nice being the host and producer of the podcast. I can do that. Before we go to Christian News Network, my favorite online Christian worldview news source, to look at a couple of their stories, I want to share with you something I did out at UCLA today. And you're going to be able to hear some of my interaction with some of the students. Now, as I was out there handing out tracts, I had a number of different tracts. I've written a number of tracts with Mark Plementosh of 1MillionTracts.com. You'll find all of my titles there. One of the tracts that I wrote that I also love to use, one of the things that Ray Comfort taught me a number of years ago is don't print, don't write, don't publish a tract that you yourself will not hand out. If you don't think you're going to use it, why would you expect or want anyone else to? So one of many different pieces of sage advice from one of the mentors in my life, Ray Comfort. And so one of the tracks I've written is, Who Do You Say I Am? Who Do You Say I Am? And Marv came up with this wonderful design for the cover. It has that text, Who Do You Say I Am? And then it has a blurred vision of a man, Last thing we wanted to do was put a picture of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, effeminate surfer boy Jesus that we see in so many pictures, really a blasphemous depiction of Jesus Christ. He was a Jewish man. He wasn't beautiful in his appearance. He looked like a Jewish man, like any other Jewish man. There was nothing about his appearance that caused him to stand out. And he would have looked like every other Jewish man of Judea 2,000 years ago. And I find these pictures of Jesus that make him look like a 20th century rock star to be really offensive, quite frankly. So it's a blurred image of a man. You can tell it's a man, but you can't make out any of his features, really. And it simply says on the front, "Who do you say I am?" And the back of the tract transitions from the law to the gospel by first talking about how people have many different understandings of who Jesus is, but there is only one that is true. And so what I did today, as I was handing out tracts, and this tract in particular, I would walk up to a student and say, "Can I ask you one question?" And if they said yes, the question was, "Who is Jesus?" Simple as that. Who is Jesus? And I got a number of different answers. And so I would like to play for you some of those answers that I received. And it's a short video clip. And then after that, we'll come back and I'll share with you the text from that particular tract and share some other things regarding that. And then we'll dig into the rest of the show. So here are some of the answers I received today on the campus of UCLA to the question, "Who is Jesus?" May I ask you a question?
I don't have time, I'm sorry.
Can I walk with you? Okay. Who is Jesus? As far as you're concerned.
I don't believe he's the Son of God.
What do you believe? That he is? Who he is?
He's a prophet.
He's a prophet. Okay. Have a great day. Thanks. Who do you say Jesus is?
My Lord and Savior.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Can I ask you folks a quick question before you get set up?
Sure.
Kind of polling folks. Who do you say Jesus is?
Kind of the question of the...
Yeah.
Can I just stump you?
According to you, not according to anyone else, but just according to you.
According to me?
Yeah.
I'll say he's my father.
Your father. Okay. How about you? Who would you say that he is?
Someone who gets me through the tough times.
Someone who gets through the... Okay. And last but not least, who would you say he is?
The leader of the Christian religion.
Leader of the Christian religion. Okay. There you go. Very good. Thank you for your time. Won't bother you again.
Have a good
Take care.
Day.
You too.
A couple of guys walking by after they got your card.
Like, I never normally take these, but you're so nice.
Good, excellent. Excellent. Have a good day.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Pardon me, can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Okay. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is?
Jesus is the Son of God.
Have a great day. Thank you very much. Could I bother you just for a second, just ask one question? Who do you say that Jesus is? According to your beliefs, what you've heard, who do you say that he is?
He's
How about you? Who do you say that he is?
He's a concept.
He's a concept? Okay. How about you?
More accurately, he's a person who lived in Jerusalem.
He's a person who lived in Jerusalem a long time ago. Great. Thank you very much. Have a good day. May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who do you say that Jesus is?
Jesus God.
Jesus God. Have a great day. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Wonderful. God bless you. So are we.
Second free Bible recording.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Who do you say that Jesus is?
My Lord and Savior.
Have a great day. May I ask you a question? Just one.
Okay.
Who do you say that Jesus is?
I'm not religious.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. That's fine. Who do you say that he is? I mean, I'm sure you've heard of him. And
of course, I have. Yeah.
So who do you think he is?
Who built up a religion.
Someone who...
built up a religion.
Someone who built up a religion.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Some people define it as the son of God. Some people define it as a prophet. Whatever it is.
Well, may I ask where you're from?
Germany.
My name's Tony. Nice to meet you. And you are? Chris? Nice to meet you, Chris. You have a good day.
You too.
May I ask you a question? Who do you say that Jesus is?
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
Okay. Have a good day.
Yeah.
May I ask you a question? Who do you say that Jesus is?
He's God.
Okay. Great. Have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning. Can I ask you one question?
Are you from... I think
no, I'm not going to ask you if you're a good person. No, I just want to ask you, who do you say Jesus is?
Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
He died for me at the cross.
Great. Have a good day. Gentlemen, can I ask you one question? I promise only one, and then I'll leave.
Yeah.
Who do you say Jesus is?
God.
You say Jesus is God. Okay. Who do you say that he is?
He's the Son of God.
Okay, excellent.
Son of God.
I promised. One question, I move on.
Awesome.
Have a good day.
Nope.
Can I ask you a real quick question and I'll leave you alone?
Sure.
Who do you say that Jesus is?
Savior.
Have a great day.
All right, so some pretty interesting answers. And one of the things that surprised me was how many people... said that Jesus is God, my Lord and Savior, the Son of God. But even in what, on the surface, sounds like right answers, you still have to probe a little deeper. You see, in the world we live today, there's really no telling what Jesus a person has in mind when they say, I believe in Jesus. Which Jesus do they believe in? Do they believe in the Jesus of Roman Catholicism who has to suffer day in and day out and is envisioned as still bleeding and dying on the cross for sinners, denying the reality that he said it is finished and he no longer suffers? Do people picture him as the Roman Catholic Jesus that shares his glory and authority with Mary? Or is it the Mormon Jesus, who is a created being and the spirit brother of Satan? Or is it the Jehovah's Witness Jesus, who also believe he's a created being and the incarnation of Michael the Archangel? Or is it the Muslim Jesus? They give him enough credit to call him a good prophet, but a prophet second to Muhammad, which of course is a lie because Jesus... created Muhammad as he created all things, and one day Muhammad will stand to give an account before Jesus Christ for the blasphemous religion he created that has deceived more than a billion, with a B, people. Or is it the Jesus of American evangelicalism, your homeboy, your divine butler, your genie in the bottle? Is it Oprah's Jesus that is just one of many ways to heaven, or is it the Jesus of the Bible? So again, the gospel tract is I wrote it and I can't even say it. Who do you say I am? That is the front, and I'm going to read the back to you, see what you think. William Tyndale, the father of the modern English language, described him this way: he is our redeemer, deliverer, reconciler, mediator, intercessor, advocate, attorney, solicitor, our hope, comfort, shield, protection, defender, strength, health, satisfaction, and salvation. The man about whom Tyndale spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, once asked one of his followers, a man named Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Christ." Today, if you ask people, "Who is Jesus?" you will get many different answers. In the end, regardless of what you've heard, regardless of what kind of Jesus you formed in your mind, Jesus will either be your Savior and advocate before the Father, or your judge with the Father. The Bible says, "For the Lord is our refuge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King. He will save us," Isaiah 33:22. And, There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, James 4:12a. When you die, you will stand before God to answer for your life. God, the righteous judge, will judge you according to his perfect moral standard, the law he has written on your heart. Do not lie, do not steal, do not lust, do not covet, do not hate, do not take his name in vain, etc. If you have broken God's law, and everyone has, he will find you guilty, with your punishment being eternity in hell. Your only hope is for Jesus, the God-man, to save you from the wrath of God. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth, fully God and fully man, yet without sin. He voluntarily shed his innocent blood and died on the cross, taking upon himself the punishment you rightly deserve for your sins against God. 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. Who do you say Jesus is? Repent and believe the gospel today. So, I found it interesting how many answers, different answers I got, and how readily students at UCLA take gospel tracts. And I really enjoy handing this one out. People seem to be intrigued by the cover and by the question. And so these tracts are available, again, at 1milliontracts.com, 1milliontracts.com. Just go to the store. You'll see a link there, Tracts by Tony. Click on that, and you'll see all of my titles along with Who Do You Say I Am. And would you please pray for the students and staff and faculty who received gospel tracts today, who received Bibles today. Pray that God's elect were numbered among those who received the gospel today, and that today would be the day that he would draw many to himself, extending to them the gifts of repentance and faith that only come through faith in Jesus Christ. And may God save them for his glory. All right. Okay, so let's, let me click on my computer here. I want to go back online, close that window, look at Christian News Network. Again, it is christiannews.net, christiannews.net. It is the Christian News organization of Michael Markavich. I mentioned him on the last podcast, dear brother in Christ, excellent open-air preacher in his own right, and just a fighter in every biblical sense of the word for Christians who want to share the gospel in a biblical way on the streets. Let's see, what's happening here? Okay, so clicking on this story. Oh, brother. Yeah, I wonder if you've seen this one. And I just hope that my computer will cooperate here. Why? There we go. The title, and this is by Heather Clark. Hey, by the way, if you don't know Heather, and if you do know Heather, today is Heather's birthday. How old is Heather? I'm too much of a gentleman to ask. I know she's a lot younger than me. So shout out to my sister in Christ, Heather Clark, who does much of the writing on the ChristianNews.net website, and she posted this article, born in the wrong species, woman claims she is a cat trapped in a human body. Can't make this up. Oslo, Norway. The story comes out of Oslo, Norway. I've spent some time in Norway. I have never met a cat lady like this during my visits to Norway. Reading from Heather's article, a woman in Norway claims that she was, quote, born in the wrong species, end quote, and asserts that she is really a cat trapped in a human body. Nano, N-A-N-O, 20, from Oslo, recently appeared in a news broadcast posted to the NRKP3 Verdens Rikestland YouTube channel, wearing fake cat ears and a tail, as she asserted, quote, I've been a cat all my life. I realized I was a cat when I was 16, when doctors and psychologists found out what was the thing with me, she said. quote, under my birth, there was a genetic defect. You are born like this? The interviewer asks. Yes, I'm born like this, Nana responds. Born in the wrong species. It's obvious I'm a cat when I start purring and meowing and walking around on four legs and stuff like that, end quote. The woman is consequently shown crawling on her hands and knees on the floor and scratching at the door as she looks out the window. At one point, as she is interviewed on the street, Nano hisses and jumps back at the sight of a nearby dog. What happened? What happened? The interviewer asks. Oh, my. What happened? The interviewer asks. There is a dog over there, Nano replies. She states that due to her feline instincts, she automatically reacts by hissing. Nano also claims that she likes to sleep in the sink and on windowsills and sometimes chases mice. Quote, I have been running a lot after animals that can be seen in the shadows, she states. Quote, I have tried but have never managed to catch a mouse. Quote, it is exhausting, but you get used to living with cat acts and cat instincts, Nano says. Quote, my psychologist told me I can grow out of it, but I doubt it. I think I will be a cat all my life. The story continues. You can find it at christiannews.net. Why would I share something like this? Is it just to mock Nano? No, not at all. I pity her. She knows she is not a cat. She knows that. She knows she's a human being created in the image of God. She knows that God exists. God has written his law on her heart. She has a conscience, not the conscience of a cat, but the conscience of one created in God's image. She is without excuse. When she stands before her Creator, she will not be judged as a kitty. She will be judged as a human being who has fallen short of his glory. And this is the obvious result of a world gone mad, and that madness begins with the redefining of who a person is, redefining of what genders are or are not, redefining marriage. And so if a man can dress like a woman, why can't Nano, the 20-year-old from Oslo, believe she's a cat? If cities like New York can threaten tens of thousands of dollars of fines if a coworker refers to another coworker who claims to be transgender as his or her actual gender, why should we at all be shocked that Nano sadly wants to believe she's a cat? I didn't read the whole article. I don't know if there's any mention of a litter box in Nano's life. Oh, I hope not. I really, really, really hope not. But professing to be wise, Nano has become a fool. She has, instead of worshiping her Creator, she worships herself, the creature, and denies her Creator. And so this is, it's funny in a ridiculous way, this story, but it's also tragic. Also very, very tragic, because Nano knows that she is a girl. Nana knows she's a girl. Is she a boy cat? Is she a tom cat? You know, I mean, again, the way the world just ignores reality and tries to alter reality in every conceivable way as the world runs headlong toward destruction, hating the God who made the world, hating the God who created them, despising his son, would crucify him over again if he walked the streets today. It's tragic. It is absolutely tragic that there are people like Nano all over the world. Don't be surprised if in a year or two, if the Lord doesn't bring her to her senses, if she hasn't already been completely given over to a depraved mind, as God executes his wrath of abandonment upon her. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Christ, would bring her to her senses, repentance and faith in him. I want nothing more than to see Nano in heaven. But in a year or two, is Nano going to marry another cat? It could happen. People are marrying themselves. Men are marrying men. Women are marrying women. Polygamy is soon going to be legal throughout the world. And the world's just nuts. The world's just nuts. Don't be surprised if Nano announces wedding plans. I feel sorry for the groom. All right. Let me get to our question of the day. And, again, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the broadcast, I'm getting more and more questions about Bethel Redding, the New Apostolic Reformation, the musical propagandist wing of that Jesus culture, the propagandist, musical propagandists for Bethel Redding and the New Apostolic Reformation. And I've been getting a lot more emails about this. And again, your emails are very important to us. I now have a new assistant. Her name is Michelle. She is my eldest daughter, who I love very, very much. And Michelle is reading all the emails and sifting through all of the spam and sifting through some craziness and getting to the important ones and making sure that I see those. And so your emails are very, very important to us. Keep them coming. Send them to info@crossencountersmin.com. info@crossencountersmin.com. All right, here's an email that I received from Denny. Hi, I'm a recently reformed Christian, about 2 years now. I grew up in a Hispanic evangelical church. I was born and raised Christian. In 2008, I joined the United States Navy and served on the submarine USS Hampton for 5 years. During that time, I was one of two Christians on board. I learned to read the Word and seek God in Scripture. Romans 8 helped me maintain my faith, although it was not easy. When I came back to my church in 2013, I realized the doctrine was different than what I had found in Scripture. After much seeking and steadfast prayer and fasting, I realized I was reformed in my thinking. This has caused a great deal of problems at my church since I serve as a leader of small groups and taught in our Bible school. I would speak to my leader about doctrinal differences. Up until now, I have just submitted myself to my leadership and tried to not make any waves. I just heard of Tony Miano through Apologia Radio or Apologia Radio, depending on what translation or what pronunciation you would like to use, and the ministry against Bethel Redding. I also found out that Bethel will be coming to our church to help teach our leaders and more specifically our worship team. I am concerned of the influence they might have. Our church is closely associated with Mike Bickle and IHOP Kansas City. Bickle will be coming to our church in April also. I want help to speak to my pastor, to be wary about Bethel and Bill Johnson. I have spoken a little to a few people, but they look up to the ministry school Bethel has and actually want to go. They are also fans of Bethel music. I have stopped talking about these things at church because people think I sound crazy. I believe there is truth to that because I'm probably not doing it in the way the Lord wants me to. They have not been open to anything, so my approach, delivery, or message might not be from God. I feel a concern for my brothers and wanted to know if someone could help me or correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you for your time and response. God bless. Wow. Now, because of the writing I have done over the last few years regarding Bethel Reading and the New Apostolic Reformation, I am, again, receiving more and more emails from people who have either come out of this false church and this false Reformation, or from people like Denny who are concerned, even grieved in some cases, that Bethel is gaining a foothold in their churches. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Bethel Reading, which I believe is a cult, or the New Apostolic Reformation, which is nothing more than new clothes on the back of a wicked emperor known as the Word Faith Movement, or the Prosperity Gospel, which is no gospel at all, I want to invite you to go to my website, crossencountersmen.com, and simply type Bethel in the search window. And what you will find is a plethora of information, articles, and videos that will leave no doubt in your mind that Bethel and the New Apostolic Reformation are of their father, the devil. And I want to encourage you to do that because, for the sake of time, I'm not going to lay out my detailed case against Bethel and the NAR right now. I want to focus my attention on Denny's pressing questions. So I'm going to speak directly to Denny here for a little bit. First, I'm going to stir up my coffee, take a little sip here. Sip of coffee out of my Santa Clarita Christian School mug, official mug, Go Cardinals, given to me by David Caldwell, the Dean of Men at Santa Clarita Christian School, who occasionally will join me for lunch. So, thank you, David. All right. So, Denny, thank you so very much, first of all, for your service. All right. I can't think of a more arduous duty, mentally and physically, than duty on a submarine. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. I will readily admit that. I don't have a clue what life is like on a submarine. And so I'm making some assumptions, but I hope they're right assumptions. Now, granted, they are much bigger than they were during the World Wars. In fact, if I'm correct, feel free to correct me. People love to do that, and I don't mind correction. But I believe the submarines of today, or at least certain classes of submarines of today, are the size of the aircraft carriers of World War II. That's how big these boats are these days. But still, that kind of confinement over long periods of time has got to be tough duty. So Denny, I thank you for your willingness to serve. I thank you for your willingness to put yourself in harm's way to defend our country. Thank you, brother, for doing that. Now, Denny, when you say you were born and raised Christian, I'm sure you mean that you were born into and raised in a Christian home. Now, I don't want to be nitpicky or anything like that, but words are so very important, more so today than ever before, with so many people claiming to be Christians when they're not. No one is born a Christian, John 1, 12 to 13 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, not scolding you there at all, Denny. Just trying to help you out a little bit with some of the Christianese. All right, now, Denny, you mentioned Romans 8. Well, my friend, Romans 8 is my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. All of God's Word is, of course, profitable. No doubt about that. However, I love Romans 8 because of the great emphasis on the sovereignty of God in evangelism, freedom from condemnation and the law of sin and death, adopted as one of God's beloved children, the assurance that nothing can ever separate the born-again follower of Christ from his or her Savior. I love the way Romans 8 ends, the last 2-3 verses, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What follower of Jesus Christ is not move to worship by those words and be encouraged. Now, Denny, you mentioned hearing my appearance on Apologia Radio or Apologia Radio. Hey, you know what? Okay. Either Pastor Jeff Durbin or Marcus Pittman or Luke, one of you guys, can you straighten me out? Can you please straighten me out on the pronunciation? Is it Apologia? Apologia? I know it's not Apologia, so I won't go there. But straighten me out so I can pronounce it right. Now, I love these brothers and sisters at Apologia Church and Radio, and I'm so glad that my time with them was an encouragement to you. You know, Denny, I'm often blunt to a fault. So if you ask me some of my really, if you ask some of my really close friends, I do a lot of biblical counseling with just three words: knock it off. Peter knows what I'm talking about. I know biblical counseling is more involved than that, and I'm certainly not going to write any books titled "Knock It Off." I have to tell you, my brother, I'm going to be straight out with you. While God is more than able to bring your church back online, back to the truth and the authority of Scripture, what you are describing to me is a church from which the Lord has already removed His lamp. They have turned from the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glorification of His name to idols made in the image and imagination of men. They have already become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts have been darkened, claiming to be wise, and I mean no disrespect to the leaders of your church, Denny, claiming to be wise, they have become fools and have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And you'll find that in Romans 1, 21-23. You see, my brother, according to you, Denny, your church has already embraced Bethel Reading, its blasphemous school, the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and its music, Jesus Culture. Your church has already embraced Mike Bickle and IHOP. IHOP is a hub of New Apostolic Reformation false teaching, and is led by a false prophet by the name of Mike Bickle. Now, it seems, Denny, that your church has exchanged the truth about God for a lie and have decided to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:25. You see, Denny, based only on what you've told me about yourself, while you recently began to embrace the beautiful doctrines of grace, you may not be spiritually ready for the fight that is sure to come if you press your pastors and elders about dislodging Bethel Reading from the church. And the last thing I want to see is a young man who recognizes Bethel Reading for what it is to be caused to stumble in any way through the craftiness and deceitfulness of men. Now, Denny, I don't presume to know the hearts of your pastors or elders. To some, it may sound like I am making that presumption, but I'm not. God knows their hearts. I don't. But at the very least, Denny, they are deceived. And as far as I'm concerned, any pastor or elder that allows Bethel Reading and its ilk anywhere near his flock is not fit to shepherd one of Christ's churches. To have so little wisdom and discernment is cause for someone to tell your pastors and elders that they should examine themselves and test themselves to see if they are even in the faith. What you need, Denny, is an exit strategy. It's time for you to leave the church and find a safe and biblical church home, a church where Christ and not a false representation of the Holy Spirit is worshipped, a church where the authority is God's Word and not the subjective impressions on the minds of men, a church that fears God and does not treat Him like a genie in a bottle or some kind of divine butler. But, Denny, how you leave the church is important. You must go quietly. You must not be divisive. You must leave honestly. You must leave lovingly. Quietly. Don't draw unnecessary attention to yourself in leaving. Your church is already forsaking Jesus. Don't add to it by causing the church to talk about you instead of Christ. Don't leave divisively. Don't be divisive. Do not try to smear your pastors or elders on the way out the door. Do not try to cause a church split. Don't be a factious man who tries to pit his camp against the camp of the church's leadership. You got to leave honestly. Leaving quietly does not mean leaving silently. You must be honest with your pastors and your elders as to why you are leaving the church. In the off chance that they are truly men of God who are simply deceived, your honesty might be what the Lord uses to snap their heads on straight. And you got to leave lovingly. You must lovingly call your pastors and elders to repent of allowing the false teaching of Bethel Reading into the church. Now, this may have no effect on them. If they're already heading down the road to apostasy, as we see described in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, you must lovingly warn them of the consequences of being teachers in the church who are misleading the people. You must do this with humility, not with anger. You must do this in person, if at all possible, and not by email. You shouldn't do this on a Sunday morning by standing up in the church and rebuking your pastor. You should not do that. You should go to them, request a meeting, and lovingly call them to repent of allowing harmful, unbiblical, and quite frankly, some of the things they do are flat out demonic. Allowing any of these things from Bethel Reading or IHOP or Jesus Culture or the New Apostolic Reformation get anywhere near the flock. Now, in response, get ready, Denny. If you do this, get ready. In response, you're going to likely hear accusations like legalism, you're a Pharisee, you're quenching the Spirit, you're wrongly touching the Lord's anointed. If you do, it should be a clear sign to you that, at least at this time, your pastors and your elders' hearts are hard and unrepentant. Now, Denny, when you're ready to leave your church, and again, my counsel to you is you need to leave your church. By allowing IHOP and Bethel Reading and Jesus Culture into the church, knowingly, wantonly, as far as I'm concerned, Denny, you're not in a church. You're in a club for the spiritually disobedient. You're not in a church. You're not in one of Christ's churches. So, Denny, when you're ready to leave, if you decide to do that, I'm here. We're here at Cross Encounters Ministries to do everything we can to help you find a solid church in your area. Okay? So I hope you'll stay in touch. And let me know what you think of the counsel that I've given you. And you know how to get a hold of us, and so do that. For those of you out there who might find yourself in a similar position as Denny, pray for Denny. And Denny, I would ask you to pray for others, because there are a lot of people out there, buddy, struggling just like you are with these same things. I talked to a pastor in the Midwest recently who has a group of, you know, pillars in the church, well-respected people in the church, who want to bring Bethel Reading influence into the church. By God's grace and for God's glory, the pastor and all the elders are of one mind, one voice, knowing that this is not, this should not be brought into the church. This is not of the Lord. And so, Denny, I understand that when a Christian finds himself in a position like this, and I did, some 20 years ago, I found myself in a very similar position as the leadership of my church brought in the Toronto Blessing, the Brownsville Revival, the Pensacola Outpouring, Anaheim Vineyard, and all that nonsense, which were just an older generation, a precursor to the craziness that is going on now at Bethel. And with the New Apostolic Reformation, my family and I had to leave a church. We had to leave a church filled with people we loved, including the pastor. And so I know that's difficult. I know that's hard. And the counsel that I'm giving you, Denny, is based in part of it's based in part on the mistakes that I've made. When we left that church, I did it wrong. I did it sinfully. I had to seek the pastor's forgiveness years later. I did it with a long letter back before or when the internet was just a fledgling apparatus. I did it with a typed out letter and leaving the key to the church on the pastor's desk, went in there late at night when I knew no one would be there. I was a coward. The way I left the church was cowardly. It was despicable. It was sinful. And so the counsel I'm giving you is in part encouraging you not to make the mistakes that I made. Okay? But hey, let's end on a positive note, shall we? The Bride of Christ is alive and well. She is imperfect, but she is beautiful. The Bride of Christ may find herself in American evangelicalism. Genuine followers of Jesus Christ may find themselves in really bad churches and are at present deceived. But the Lord loves His church. His church is beautiful. He will redeem His bride. And along for that day when His bride is gathered together, worshiping with the bridegroom, worshiping the bridegroom, should I say, worshiping the bridegroom in spirit and truth for all eternity. So Denny, I hope you're encouraged. And folks, I hope you were encouraged by what I shared about UCLA and the life that God saved at the abortuary this week. I do hope you were encouraged. And until next time, my friends, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel.